Welcome to the Reef Report. I'm Emma, joined by Trevor and Fred, and today we're diving into one of the ocean's most surprising stories, how seabirds are secretly keeping coral reefs alive.
That's right. We're all undergraduate students here at UNC Charlotte, and this topic genuinely blew our minds when we first came across the research. Stick with us. By the end of this episode, you'll never look at seabirds the same way again.
So grab your snorkel because we're diving deep today. Let's start with the big picture. Coral reefs are dying. Every year, rising ocean temperatures push these ecosystems closer to collapse, and with them, the extraordinary marine biodiversity they support.
But nature has a few tricks up its sleeve. There are natural processes that help reefs not just survive, but actually bounce back from stress. And one of the most powerful ones involves birds, specifically seabirds.
A landmark study by Dunn and colleagues describes seabirds as vital connectors between land and sea, shuttling nutrients between their feeding grounds in the ocean and their breeding grounds on land. And what that nutrient pipeline does gets, or when that nutrient pipeline gets disrupted, the downstream effects on coral reefs are significant. So today we're going to unpack exactly how the connection works and what we can do to protect it.
Topic one, what are seabirds and how do they connect to coral reefs? Before we get into the science, let's talk about what seabirds actually are. These are birds uniquely adapted for life in marine or coastal environments. Many species have specialized wing shapes built for dynamic soaring, basically gliding on ocean air currents to travel enormous distances without burning much energy. Others have specially shaped beaks for catching fish, clams, or squid. They're impressive animals.
That's awesome, but there's a question I had when I first read this research. Seabirds can't swim down to a reef. They're not diving in and guarding coral. So how exactly do they help?
It's a great question, and the answer is honestly kind of gross, but also brilliant. Poop, seabird feces called guano, is extraordinarily rich in nitrogen and phosphorus. When seabirds nest on islands in large numbers, all of that guano washes into the surrounding coastal water, and that sudden influx of nutrients feeds the entire reef ecosystem below. More birds mean more guano, and more guano means a healthier reef.
Now, studying this directly is tricky. You can't just artificially add or remove seabirds from an ecosystem to run a controlled experiment. The ethical and logistical challenges are enormous. But researchers got lucky with a natural experiment.
Oh, yeah, this is where it gets really interesting. In the Chagos Archipelago in the Indian Ocean, some islands are completely rat-free, while others have been overrun by invasive rats. And it turns out rats are devastating the seabird colonies. They eat eggs, chicks, and sometimes even adults.
The difference in seabird populations between these two types of islands was staggering. Rat-free islands had roughly 760 times more seabirds than rat-infested ones. That created a perfect side-by-side comparison, and researchers used it to measure the health of coral reefs sitting just offshore from each island type.
The results were clear. Reefs near rat-free islands were significantly healthier overall, with measurably higher fish biomass. We'll dig into the specifics of what that means in a moment.
Pick two, which seabirds matter most? So, not all seabirds are created equal when it comes to reef health. Different species contribute different amounts depending on their body size, diet, and how long their breeding season lasts. We asked Dr. Dunn what species are doing the most work.
So within the tropical Indian Ocean system where I work, there are a lot of different seabirds breeding. I think there are maybe 18 different species that breed in large numbers. And the one that we've found to be the most important in terms of nutrient contributions are the red-footed boobies.
Research conducted in the Seychelles by Benquit in 2025 tracked seven seabird species across four islands. The species studied included red-footed boobies, brown noddies, lesser noddies, wedge-tailed shearwaters, sooty terns, frigate birds, and white terns. Each one deposits guano at different rates, but together they form a powerful nutrient delivery system.
That same study found a direct relationship between the total breeding biomass of seabirds on an island and how much of their nutrients ended up being absorbed by coastal plants and algae on nearby reefs. On rat-free islands, breeding seabird biomass reached up to 170 kilograms per hectare. On rat-infested islands, effectively zero.
And it's not just the Indian Ocean. A study from Brazil's Abrolhos Archipelago showed that even in an area where rats had invaded, mast boobies and other seabirds were still managing to funnel nutrients into both the land-based food web and nearby coral communities. It shows just how persistent these nutrient pathways are, even under pressure.
Topic three, how do seabird nutrients actually benefit the reef? Well, let's get into the mechanics. When seabird guano leaches from the islands into nearshore water, it's taken up by algae, filter feeding sponges, and turf algae on the reef. That fertilization effect ripples outward to the food web.
The Graham et al. 2018 study in Nature found that reefs adjacent to rat-free islands had 48% greater overall fish biomass than those near rat-infested islands. And key ecosystem functions like grazing, where fish keep algae in check, and bioerosion were 3.2 and 3.8 times higher, respectively. Those are massive differences.
The 2025 PLOS biology study revealed something even more nuanced. Seabird nutrients don't just produce more algae, they make turf algae grow faster. And here's the key: the amount of algae coverage doesn't necessarily change. What changes is the growth rate. That faster growing algae fuels higher productivity, which in turn supports larger populations of herbivorous fish.
And these herbivorous fish graze the algae more intensively, which in turn keeps the reef balanced. It's a complete feedback loop, nutrients from birds at the top driving productivity at every level below. Scientists call this a combined bottom-up and top-down trophic cascade, and seabird guano is what powers it. So this leads us to our next question for Dr. Dunn. Is there any harm being done to the reefs from the seabirds?
In terms of whether coral reefs suffer in any sort of way from the seabirds, I would kind of say not within the research that we've found.
Topic four, seabirds help reefs survive and recover from bleaching. Now, let's talk about why this all matters in the context of an ongoing climate crisis.
In 2023, a study published in Science Advances, again by Benquist, found something remarkable. Seabird-derived nutrients more than doubled coral growth rates. And when an extreme marine heat wave triggered a bleaching event, corals near seabird islands recovered far more quickly than those near rat-infested islands.
The researchers actually transplanted Acropora corals, a common reef-building species between islands with and without seabirds. Within just 3 years, the transplanted corals had fully adopted the nutrient signature and growth rates of their new environment. That tells us the benefits are real, direct, and they kick in relatively fast once the nutrient source is in place.
And faster coral growth doesn't just mean a prettier reef. It has real implications for carbonate production, which is the physical structure of the reef itself. Healthy, fast-growing reefs also provide better protection for coastlines against sea level rise. So this isn't just an ecological issue, it's a human one too. Topic five, conservation. What can we do? What are we actually doing about all this, and what more could be done?
A 2024 study in conservation biology by Dunn and colleagues modeled what would happen if rats were eradicated from currently infested islands in the Chagos Archipelago. The projections were significant. Rat eradication could support hundreds of thousands more breeding seabirds, which would dramatically amplify nutrient flows to nearby reefs.
Research has also shown a clear recovery timeline. Islands that never had rats have had the highest seabird nutrient levels. Islands where rats were eradicated 4 to 16 years ago have intermediate levels, and islands that still have invasive rats have the lowest. The message is eradication works, but it takes time. So the sooner we act, the better.
Seabirds also serve as what scientists call indicator species. Their population health is essentially a report card for the surrounding marine ecosystem. If seabirds are thriving, the reef is likely doing well. If they're struggling, that's an early warning sign we can act on before larger damage sets in.
And for people listening at home who want to help, it really does start with awareness. Most people have no idea that seabird populations are at risk and that they have anything to do with coral reefs. Spreading that knowledge matters. Beyond that, everyday choices like using reef-safe sunscreen and cutting down on single-use plastic genuinely make a difference for the coastal ecosystems these birds depend on.
And if you want to go further, looking into island restoration programs and invasive species eradication efforts is a great place to start. These projects need public support to scale up. So to wrap it all up, lastly, we asked Dr. Dunn if there are any other contributors to coral's health or if the seabirds are the only ones.
The thing with seabirds that makes them quite unique is the fact that they fly out to sea and feed on marine prey. For example, the red-footed boobies that I mentioned at the beginning, they feed on fish like flying fish and anchovies and squid, which are really high in marine nutrients. So things like nitrogen and phosphate, which are kind of otherwise a bit limited within coral reef systems. And so because they cross that land-sea continuum, we call it, so they fly out to sea and then bring these nutrients back to land, they're kind of doing something that other terrestrial species or other avian species, they're not doing those large movements across ecosystems.
So here's the bigger picture. Protecting one group of species, in this case, seabirds, creates a ripple effect across both land and sea. With coral reefs facing unprecedented threats from climate change, seabirds represent a natural, restorable solution. And the science clearly shows that restoring seabird populations works. As Dr. Dunn puts it, seabirds are unique, but not the only contributors.
Our reefs are in danger right now, but seabirds give us a real actionable lever we can pull. If you want to help, look into island restoration and invasive species eradication programs. Those efforts are helping right now, and they need support.
Even just talking about this with the people in your life makes a difference. Awareness is step one.
Thank you so much for listening to the Reef Report.
For Trevor, Fred, and Emma.
Teaching you to take care of the ocean so it takes care of us.
Bye.
Signing off.